Utah's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, and welcome on in to another Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, where we got some, you know, actually, I don't even really care what we're talking about today, because I'm on America. I'm on an America rip right now.
USA!
USA!
USA! USA! You know what? All the crap I said last week about how boring it is, I watched every game, I think, this week.
Yes.
Hey, Matt.
Welcome to my world.
I love it. I love it.
Hey.
Now, I won't care in like 3 weeks, but I care.
Hey,
I care for
shut
now.
Your mouth.
I'm sitting in a bar because I have to sit out the first game of a doubleheader yesterday because I had a three-game suspension turned into only one game. So, I agreed to let it be the first game of a doubleheader at a beautiful stadium at Calver Hall High School in Baltimore, Maryland, Towson. And we're at Crackpot Restaurant. Thank you very much. They did a training meal for me at 11:30, let us come in early and fed my team. And then I took my team over to the field and we took BP and got a little bit of help from some great help from some outside sources. And I got to tell you, I went back to Crackpot set and had some of the I forgot what it was like. You know, I haven't had a drink in 30 years, Roy. And I go into this restaurant. I'm sitting
Sounds
in the
like
bar.
You need a drink.
Yeah, I probably. Well, I almost needed a drink yesterday. But I'm sitting at Crackpot at the bar. And it's a beautiful throwback bar. Probably 30 seats at this bar. And is this a great place? It's a phenomenal restaurant. Great seafood. Because, you know, in Baltimore, everybody's known for their crabs.
Right.
Everybody comes in there and eats crabs all the time. But they got other great dishes, too. And I go in there. And after, you know, because I got to sit 3 hours, basically, mm-hmm. and just find something to do. And I'm less than a mile away from the field. And, of course, I have my phone. And you know, I've got, you know, people who follow me on Twitter. And they're tweeting me stuff and direct messaging me stuff about the game. And we ended up winning the first game 4-1. And I sat there at a bar watching, are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
The Women's U.S. Open. The men were playing. They're playing a tournament right now, but I wasn't watching that much because when Michelle Wee stands over her putts, I can't look at anything but her butt. Because and they stopped showing her butt after about an hour because it was absolutely not X-rated, but pretty damn close. She's beautiful. Oh, by the way, Julie Inkster, hello? She's my age. I want to say Julie's 59. She's in second place. That's like Tom Watson. You remember the year that he almost won the British Open? He almost won the British Open when he was 59, and he three-putted number 18 and lost. But I was watching that, and I watched the Orioles actually win, and one of my pitchers on my score sheet team, Bud Norris, had to leave because he had a groin pull, so now I got to worry about whether Bud Norris is pitching for me next week. It's bad enough when you have real baseball teams. Now I got fake teams I got to worry about. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to a show that's going to be fun from now on because we're
zero fun.
Well, no, it's going to be fun because I actually don't have to screw around with my mic anymore. Matt fixed me up. I've got like some kind of little thing here hanging over, and I don't have to touch it. I don't have to move. I just have to talk, and I like that.
It's amazing how that works.
You know what? It's hard to believe. I'm here with my buddy Roy Edwards. Roy is now. Well, are you legally? I better not say anything about New York. Yet. Are you legally a New York resident? Because your license plates are.
Yeah, I'm still a New York resident for like another couple weeks.
Okay, good. And then you're
still
gonna be
a soft spot.
Then you're gonna be a Virginia resident.
And then I'll be back to Virginia. Yeah.
Well, you need to get your license plate, you know, personalized. You need to put, you know, Sports Man Cave somehow
yeah,
on that.
There you go.
Or Dunkin' Donuts. We're giving Dunkin'
Ass Man.
Or if there's anybody out there who wants to pay for advertising and of my license plate, I'll take that.
Believe me, I'm sure you would. We're gonna have Frank Werman on at 10:15. Frank is we've had him on before, And Frank's good luck for the Virginia Cavaliers, because the Virginia Cavaliers right now are the only undefeated team still left. They're going to be in the finals tomorrow night, I think, against Vanderbilt.
Yep. And Vanderbilt snuck out.
It's basically
Texas.
two out of three. Well, no, they did beat Texas.
Yeah. They snuck it out. Texas beat them the first game.
Hats off to Augie Garrido, who did a lot with five freshman starters.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Texas, nobody expected them this year.
They had pitching, man. And that was, nobody expected that.
Then nobody expected them to be there. Shout out to Andy McGuire, who's a member, a freshman member of that team, Madison High School grad, who is recovering from surgery. Andy, I hope you get better fast. I wish you were well now, because you'd be playing on my team. The Vienna River Dogs. And it's just going to be going to be a great show. We're going to talk a little bit. Let's talk a little bit right now before the break.
Texas was – they went in extra innings last night. I don't know if you watched the game at all.
I fell asleep when I hit the couch.
Tenth inning, Vanderbilt walk-off. Nobody scored. In the sixth, Texas tied it up, and then it went into extras, and Vanderbilt finally got a hold of their bullpen.
Well, Vanderbilt's got better pitching. That's probably the difference in the game, because these kids for Texas, they can rake.
Vanderbilt has better starting pitching.
Right.
Absolutely. But the ERA for Texas was almost a point lower than Vanderbilt for as far as ERA. Vanderbilt can hit. They can flat out hit the ball. But UVA is probably one of the better hitting teams left. I mean, we have the number one hitting team and the number two hitting team in the championship. Number three hitting team in the tournament was Ole Miss, who UVA beat to get into.
But it was time for them to get beat.
And 44-year run since the last appearance in the College World Series, and then get to the championship.
You know who got the win last night? Josh Spores from McLean High School. Josh was Josh may even pitch for me this summer if he doesn't go to the Cape. Hopefully he will. Doesn't have a ton of innings, and he's still only a sophomore. Mm-hmm. He's got one more year until he's draft eligible. But Josh did a great job, and there was a really good article in the Washington Post this morning about the discussion they had when, you know, they were down 1-0. There were runners at first and second or first and third with one out early in the game. I was watching the game, but it wasn't turned on because there were so many TVs. And I saw the mount, and what they were talking about was pitch to contact. Don't try to strike these guys out, or we're going to end up throwing balls in the dirt and giving up two runs and three runs. Let's just do what we did all year. Let's pitch. Mm-hmm. And they went out there and pitched, and they got them out. Next thing you know, they put three runs on the board. It held up. Virginia beats Ole Miss 3-1.
And four, I'm at 4-1.
4-1. That's right. That was the score of my first game too yesterday. I get them mixed up. And the thing of it is that, you know, Virginia has done this all year with pitching.
Yeah.
They play small ball because they've got a big park in Charlottesville. It's hard to hit bombs in Charlottesville. It really is, especially the way the wind blows there.
It's a big triple park.
Yes, it is. It's a double. It's like AT&T Park in San Francisco.
Yeah.
The only guys that hit balls out of there are like Pablo and friggin' Michael Morse and maybe Buster Posey once in a while.
That's why you see Virginia's. Their 3 and 4 hitters are constantly in the tops in the NCAA in doubles and triples. I think last year it was
and
Kenny
RBIs.
Towns. Kenny Towns had like 11 triples or something like that last year.
Yep.
It's a pitcher friendly park, but if you can get it in the gaps, you're seeing extra bases.
As soon as this tournament is over, in my opinion, Kenny Towns will sign with somebody immediately.
So?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I hope so.
He is the best kid that wasn't drafted in the draft.
I like Kenny a lot.
Yeah, Kenny's going to make it. Kenny's got, you know, the thing about Kenny is there's a million things he can do.
He's got one more year at UVA.
He also can pitch. But I think Kenny, somebody should sign him. And there are probably a dozen scouts out there ready, with a pen in hand, probably willing to offer him decent money. Probably they're going to have to give Kenny, in my opinion, at least $250,000 to sign. Because if not, he'd come back and be a first-team All-American next year and maybe be a first-round or second-round pick.
Exactly.
You know,
I think he goes back to UVA, but I wouldn't be surprised if somebody – I mean, he was in the College Home Run Derby last year. You know, he led UVA in home runs a year ago.
Right, right.
So, I mean, he can hit for power, and obviously he
– In the postseason, he's been the guy.
Oh, my God. He
went
3-for-4
a couple nights ago.
Him and Mike Poppy. He's been solid. He's been absolutely –
How about Mike Poppy?
He hit in the fourth spot for them against Ole Miss.
How good is Mike Poppy?
Poppy's been great, too, yeah.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're gonna be back on. I got a caller on line one. Frank Worman, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, good, Bruce. How are you?
I'm great. I had to sit one game of doubleheader yesterday. I'll tell you that story later because it's not exactly newsworthy of national prominence like the Virginia Cavaliers. But it was great because I got to watch every bit of the Virginia game. And then I watched it all up to the eighth inning. And then we had a second game of doubleheader. Knowing you, you're coaching your Legion team, correct?
Yes.
So you're not in. You didn't get to make it out there this year to the World Series, right?
No, I couldn't go out there this year. Yeah, there's too much going on here.
Well, that's because you're the man here. Did you get to see the game yesterday? Obviously, you recorded it. If you didn't.
Yeah, I saw some of it, and I was following it on Twitter and stuff too. And we were following it in the dugout last night in our game. They close it out 4-1. It was pretty exciting. Even the guys, because Jack Anzalotti's on that team. I mean, he's one of the managers. I think he's gotten more. He's received more FaceTime on some of those celebrations than some of the players. But our team, we're predominantly Vienna, Oakton. Everybody knows a bunch of those guys. Spores,
sure.
They beat against Spores. So it's really neat to see players that you've played against actually on TV in the World Series like that. And they were excited for them to get into the championship series.
Now, absolutely. Now, when you're talking about Josh Spores, I'm talking to Frank Worman. Frank is the head coach of you're a lot more than that, but you're the head coach of Post 180, which is one of the best Legion teams in Northern Virginia. You've coached a ton of these kids. Jack Anzalotti is talking about played for me. I'm an assistant coach at Madison High School in the offseason. He was a Madison Warhawk catcher for 4 years and is the University of Virginia's – basically, he's their bullpen catcher. I think they have two. But Jack is the man. Jack knows exactly what's going on. I even offered Jack a spot on my summer team this year. And of course, at the time I offered it, I didn't realize they were going to be playing during half my season. That Virginia is, because there hasn't been a team since what, 1955 in the ACC to win the national tournament, Frank?
Yep, Wake Forest, 55.
That was when I was a year old. I guess that's a long time ago. it's gonna be interesting to see these next couple games. I think Virginia's winning right now. Josh Spores, by the way, had a pretty good year. His ERA is 2.84. Yesterday, he didn't give up an earned run. Struck out 4. He did have a little problem with his control, but I like what they decided to do. They pitched to contact. They just rely on their defense to do what they do, which is play great defense. And then Lewicki and Howard come in, and it's over. It's over. And I think that's what's going to happen. Personally, I think that's what, in my opinion, that's what's going to happen when they play Vanderbilt. How do you see this thing? Do you see a low scoring series here?
Vanderbilt is obviously a very, very good team. I think obviously you have the two best teams in college baseball going up against themselves. And the thing that I think is really neat, they're both similar programs. Corbin's done the same kind of job at Vanderbilt because they were always at the bottom of the SEC. Same with Virginia before O'Connor came in. So these are two programs with two superstar head coaches that are really going to go at it with great pitching, great defense. These guys can play. It should be three, well, hopefully just two great games for Virginia.
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to obviously come out with Kirby. Kirby's just been lights out. And then to follow him up with Waddell. And then their whole bullpen, with everybody they have with Whit Mayberry, Lewicki, and Howard. I mean, they're just so loaded. And if the bats come around, because Virginia really hasn't hit, I think, like, they're capable of hitting. They've kind of struggled the whole year at the plate. They haven't scored a whole lot of runs.
Right.
It's a powerful lineup. Because even Fisher has done, basically zero this World Series. And if he lights up, that guy is just, he's an electric bat.
Well,
lineup, 1-9.
How about Robbie Coleman yesterday? I mean, go ahead, Frank.
The thing with baseball, it's about failing. And, he had a really first couple tough innings. He got out, he put the guys on base, and then there was a couple pass balls or ricocheted off him. It was like, he looked like he was struggling, but he was the guy that came through with the big hit. But that's, and the same thing happened with, who was the other one? the right fielder. God, why am I calling the blank now?
Joe McCarthy.
McCarthy, yeah.
He's a stud.
I mean, he could get the bunt down, and then he's the guy that comes through. And that's what I explained to my guys last night. We lost our first game last night. And, you know, this is a tough game. We played okay. We just didn't get the breaks, and that's the way baseball is. You have this failure, but you have an opportunity to come back and do something good.
Absolutely.
And that's what UVA did yesterday. It's just a phenomenal team. And it is a team. It is about team. They when you listen to the interviews or watch the kids, they all talk about their teammates. They're like, I was trying to do it for the team. I needed to get a hit for the team. And I think that's why they are so successful. And I think Vanderbilt's in the same mold, too.
You know,
it's going to be a really good series.
I agree, Frank. You know, McMullen and O'Connor, you know, they've got this thing down to a science. You know, everybody wants Kevin McMullen right now. I know we'll never get him. I'm sure he was talked to by our athletic director out in Omaha, because there's several Division I openings right now. And McMullen, you know, in my opinion, they'll just pay him a lot more money and just keep him there. Brian, unless Kevin wants to go somewhere, I don't see him going anywhere. Do you?
No, because the way Brian works it is they are totally in charge of what they do. McMullen runs the offense. He runs it, and you know, he basically lets O'Connor know what he's going to do, and the same with Kuhn. He runs the pitchers. And I think if a lot of guys like to really coach and just coach, because when you're the head coach, you have all those other duties you have to do as far as dealing with the public and those things and the parents and all that stuff.
Yep.
Kevin and Carl don't have to worry about that. They get to do what they love. They get to go recruit, bring the top guys in, you know, play them up, you know, get them better, and they don't have all that other outside pressure, and I'm sure they paid well. They're in a great situation in Charlottesville with their families. I mean, they have young kids, both of them do. And you're right, unless the offer is, you know, something like a Texas or something like that, I don't see someone like McMullen or Carl leaving. Of course, you know, probably this year maybe they end up going. But even if they did, there would be two outstanding coaches that went someplace else, and Brian would just bring in two more, you know, individuals that would just keep that program just
No, I hear you. I hear you. We're talking to Frank Werman, head coach of Post 180, but so much more. Guy that knows baseball as well as anybody I know. Has a bunch of kids that are coaching now at the college level. And Keith's still over. Is he in Japan? Or
He came back last week.
Oh, yeah. Did he? Okay. That's right. How did he like it? Did he like Japan? You know, everybody over there, he's probably pretty tall for a kid in Japan. Wouldn't you say?
He fit right in. Actually, yeah. He fit right in.
They're like, who is the tall kid with the, you know, with the red hair over here? Now he's a great.
He had an absolute fantastic time. He actually wrote a blog of his whole every day. It's on teamwerman.com if anybody wants to see it. But we're actually looking at maybe putting it into a book, because no one really has done that. And to see the culture and how things change and how baseball is played there. He has a whole list at the end of his blog, all the things that he's noticed, little things that we don't do here. It's kind of, one, marking a field, how we push forward when we mark a field.
Right, right.
When they mark the field, they pull it, because you can make a steadier line if you pull.
Oh, absolutely. We don't do anything right.
Yeah. There's all these little nuggets that he pulled out that I think are just really, for baseball people, it's actually pretty cool. So we're going to try and maybe we'll put some kind of book together for that, because I think there's a lot of detail that he said he could add. And I think it would be interesting for baseball fans to see what it is like in Japan from an American's perspective.
Well, that's a place I got to go. I just don't want to go to. I don't want to go to the East Coast of Japan, because I don't want to get anywhere near all that radiation that was over there. I'm just kidding. Hey, listen, let's talk about one of my favorite kids right now, Kenny Towns from Lake Braddock High School.
Oh,
let me tell you, talk about a kid that he didn't get. He's one of the few really good players that didn't get drafted. I'm pretty sure Kenny's a junior this year, and you know, he's obviously eligible for the draft next year. I would imagine there's probably a half a dozen scouts right now with pen in hand that are waiting for the last out of the last game. And I imagine that Kenny Towns that night, especially, you know, whether they win or lose, is going to be very busy all night. What do you think? Don't you think somebody's going to sign him and offer him some money?
You know, you're exactly right. It's like Kenny Towns, you know, he was a Lake Braddock pitcher. And he was a really good player. I think he was All-Met Player of the Year that year when he graduated. And I watched him come into UVA, and I always thought his hands were pretty hard, kind of hands of stone.
Right.
He made some errors in the fall when he was first there. And His projectability, I mean, definitely he could hit. That was his calling card. He could hit, but his defense was just, I thought, this guy's never going to see the field. And I think you have to give credit to that coaching staff. They talk about player development.
Yeah.
Watching Kenny Towns now, that guy is so good. Hands are soft. He's playing third like, you know, I can't say Zimmerman, but, I mean, he's playing third really well. His defense is awesome. They moved him up. Now he's hitting fourth.
Yeah.
You talk about a player that's developed. To me, that's coaching, and that's the kid that works really hard to get better. And you're right. Someone's going to be there with a free agent and you know, sign him up, and he'll be shipped off somewhere.
Yeah, he and Poppy are carrying these guys. I mean, you know, offensively, every game, one or both of those guys has got run or is scoring runs and driving in runs. Now, the thing I like about Kenny is he looks like he's gotten stronger, too. I mean, he's maturing very well as a 20, 21-year-old kid. And he's always had the arm. Everybody knows that. I mean, Kenny probably throws at 91, 92 from third base. And he pitched for Virginia at one time. Of course, they need pitchers like, I'm not even going to say, yeah. But, you know, because my producer, every time I talk about short people in Japan, he starts shaking his head or whatever. I was going to say like Custer needed another Indian. But the thing of it is that, you know, this kid to me is one of their best players. And I just was surprised that six or seven or eight of them got drafted and he didn't. But you and I both know the scouts don't always get it right, right?
Yeah, that's true. And I think you're right. They're going to see him. I mean, they've seen him. His average has gone from, he was around 200, 210, in like midway through, and it's up to like 276 now. I mean, he's just been hitting lights out. You know, the other interesting kid on the team, too, is the Thomas Woodruff.
Right, right.
He played at Thomas Jefferson. He's a Chantilly kid. He actually played against us in Legion Ball. And here's a guy, I mean, he was a walk-on. He wasn't recruited, and he basically had a spot. They needed a middle infielder for their scrimmages in the fall.
Right.
And he's one of those kids that works harder than anybody. He'll do anything you want. He's a super team guy. And here's this guy. He's in the World Series, you know, scoring these runs, which, you know, his dad, who is the president of one of the little leagues around here, has to be just, you know, beside himself. And that's why I tell kids, you want to be part of something. You could be a superstar on a team that never gets anywhere. But what if you're on a team that makes it to the College World Series and you're part of that?
You know, absolutely. Frank, you know, I'm talking to Frank Worman, head coach post 180 in Oakton, Virginia. I almost said Vienna. I don't know if it's Vienna or Oakton, but Vienna and Oakton might as well be the same. They're right on top of each other. You know, Frank, the thing about, and you were referring to Thomas Jefferson. For those of you in New York that don't know anything about Thomas Jefferson Junior High, that's like a top five school in the country. You have to – the kids that graduate there, they have an average SAT score of like, I don't know, it's like 2,250 or something. It's a school for science and technology that kids apply to go into. And there was a time not that long ago when they had some good teams at Jefferson. Yeah, they really did. And the kids that play, they always overachieve because they're smart kids, you know?
Yeah, it's a great school. It's the one everybody tries to get into around here because you're pretty much guaranteed to get into the big schools, the Ivy League schools or UVA or one of those schools like that.
Frank, let's talk about. We got 2 minutes left before we gotta get off. Let's do this. I want to know what you think is going to happen in this series. If you think it's going to be two games or three games, and I think I know who you want to win, but tell me who you think is going to win and tell everybody that's listening to my show why.
I really think UVA has the upper hand just with their pitching and with their team play. I think Kirby, if Kirby's on, he's unhittable. And then you bring in anyone behind him, whether it's Lewicki again or whether it's Witt to get to Howard. I mean, that's a really tough combination to beat. And then following up that with Brandon Waddell. I mean, Brandon's been pitching lights out too. They're going to have their hands full. And not to say that they can't win. I mean, that's baseball. And that's the whole thing that makes this kind of tough is you just never know. I just like UVA where they're at. I like the coaching staff and what they provide. I like the chemistry of the team. I mean, they're all in. This is what it's about. This is what everybody dreams to get to is this opportunity. And I hope UVA brings it home for the ACC finally after, you know, all these years. You know, it'd be a good feather in their hat. And the program will just continue to get stronger and stronger because they have tons of guys coming in next year, too.
Absolutely.
And all these pitchers are all, they're all sophomores. All these guys are coming back.
I know. They're going to be strong, and I wouldn't doubt whether they win or lose, whether they're number one coming in again next year. Frank Worman, Frank, I can't thank you enough for coming on. You are our UVA and NCAA baseball expert on the show on FAS, and I appreciate you coming on, buddy.
Well, thank you, Bruce. I appreciate it, too.
All right, man. We'll see you soon. Frank Worman,
okay,
I'll tell you what, this guy knows more about baseball than anybody I've ever talked to. It's just nice to sit down with somebody and know what's going on. We'll be back with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion in a minute.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I love that.
It makes me not hate soccer.
You hate the sport, but you love the chance.
Hey, my little league kids, when we had all stars, 9 and 10s and 11s, 12s and resting, we used to always say, "Nobody makes an out. Nobody makes an out.
See that?
Nobody makes an out." And when you say that, you don't make an out. Not for a while. Eventually, you make three outs, but hopefully, after you've got a big crooked number up on the scoreboard, I'm Bruce Hall.
Then everybody beats the crap out of the 10-year-old.
You better not make an out when you're doing that.
That doesn't happen.
It's wedgie time after
wedgie
the game,
time, kid.
Hey,
the United States takes on Portugal.
Hey, don't do this.
5 o'clock.
I can't. You know what? I need to shave. I guess I'm starting to. Mess with my beard.
It has nothing to do with the beard. It's just how you pronounce your words.
It's how I pronounce my stuff. Hey, well, anyway, University of Virginia hasn't even started hitting yet. And they're going to win. They're going to win this tournament.
I think they're going to win too.
They're going to win this tournament because they're going to hit and they're going to pitch. And I think it's good. I think it's two games.
They've been my favorite team all year.
Now, Vanderbilt, I will say this, their number one guy. Didn't have a very good outing, and he only threw 3 1/3 innings.
He hasn't had a very couple good outings.
No, and guess who drafted him? San Francisco Giants. Oh, my God.
Tyler Beede, is that his name?
Beede. Tyler Beede. And, he's good, but Kenny Towns, Joe McCarthy, Derek Fisher, Brandon Downs, Mike Pappy. Robbie Coleman, the catcher who came through for him yesterday with two big RBIs. I'm going to tell you, they didn't give up one earned run in the biggest game so far this year. So, I mean, that's a good sign. Hey, let's talk LeBron. Since everybody in the
LeBron
freaking country is talking about, you know what? I'm so tired of LeBron James. How old is he anyway? He looks like he's 50.
38. Or no, 28.
Is he 50?
He's 28, I think.
Do you think
he's my age?
Is he related to who's the big tall kid that looked like he was 50 when he was 20?
That is
the center that
got. He played at Ohio State.
No, he didn't play at Ohio State.
He got drafted by Portland.
Oh, my God. He's an NBA guy.
His name is Greg Oden.
Greg Oden. Thank you very much. You're getting old.
I had to,
because it
I
took
to
you a while
around.
To pull that up, and you didn't even pull it up on your computer.
Well,
you remembered it.
LeBron James, 29. Greg Oden.
Yeah, but he looks 49.
Greg Oden would be really easy to remember if he ever did anything in the NBA. He didn't do anything.
Well, he doesn't even do anything in practice because he's always hurt.
Oh, he's terrible. I love the meme, the picture of Greg Oden sitting behind the bench and watching the Heat play, because technically he is a member of the Miami Heat.
So technically,
he doesn't.
Technically, he is a Heat player.
He doesn't play, but he's on.
Is he on their roster?
He's on their payroll, and he's on the roster. I don't know if he dressed.
You know, imagine if Greg Oden comes back and he's 100%.
No, he sucks.
Oh, okay.
He's terrible.
Oh, excuse me.
He's 26, so he's sitting behind the.
So can I hate the NBA now that they're not playing?
Yeah,
good.
Absolutely.
I hate the NBA.
So there's a picture of him sitting behind the bench watching the Heat. And the meme reads, LeBron James in 30 years, remembering all of his mistakes. And it's just Oden sitting there, like, all butt hurt. And they look exactly the same.
That's not good. Is that good?
And Odin's younger by 3 years, but looks older by 10.
LeBron doesn't look that young anymore, trust me.
Oh, no, his headband keeps creeping up his hairline.
Well, you know, when you take enough HGH, you go bald. and the guy has to take care of his body, and the guy has to recover.
I wouldn't go that far.
I would say that the NBA, since they're not even tested for marijuana, and they're not, you know, there's a lot of things they're not tested for, and I'm pretty sure HGH is one of them. So I'm guessing that maybe he probably has messed around with a few things he shouldn't do.
I don't know.
Maybe he has some friends in high school in Miami, you know. Hey, by the way, you know, through some, you know, through talking to all kinds of people, you know, when that guy got in trouble in Florida, you know, and turned state's evidence and did all that stuff, you know, with the A-Rod stuff and the, you know, the everybody else that got busted last year. What was there, 9 guys or something that all pleaded guilty? They just basically took the 50 or 100 games suspension last year. A lot of high school kids were on that list. High school kids, like 30 of them, and they lost their scholarships. So a lot of them are just playing baseball, from what I understand, on teams, you know, travel teams and this and that and the other, because they can't get into college, and the good ones will be signed. So, you know.
You go play for a community college somewhere.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, they go to Chipola.
Chipotle?
Chipotle.
I do love Chipotle.
If they put it, you know what? It's not E, it's A, Chipola. C-H-I-P-O-L-A.
I don't like Chipotle.
I'm Bruce Hall, and you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
So LeBron.
You were going to talk about where LeBron goes. You want to read? Are you going to read off the odds?
Yeah, I'll read off the odds.
All right, this is pretty good stuff.
So LeBron James, it's where will he be in 2014-15, which
drum roll.
He has the option to opt out of his contract. That's why all the discussion of around him leaving. So all of the contracts of the big three, the Dwayne Wade, the Chris Bosh, and LeBron James, were all set at a 4-year opt-out availability. So it gives the option for all three of those big three to opt out this year to either redo their contracts so they can bring in more people, or for them to flat out leave. So LeBron James has the option to opt out of his contract, and here are the odds for the teams where he will end up. Obviously, the Miami Heat is a 1-4 favorite. That's minus 400. The only team that's in the minuses. The favorite for LeBron is to return to Miami, which that doesn't mean that he's not going to opt out, because he most likely will opt out. At least one of these guys will have to opt out if they're going to bring back their quote-unquote big three. At least one of them will have to opt out. Whether that's LeBron or not, we'll see. The other teams on this list, the Cleveland Cavaliers, 5-1, that's the second. Chicago Bulls, 9-1. Clippers 9-1, Rockets 19-2, and the LA Lakers 20-1. Now the big question here is whether LeBron James leaves, but I don't think he's going anywhere. But I didn't think he was going anywhere when he was with the Cleveland Cavaliers either. But I don't think he goes anywhere. The big question is, where does Carmelo Anthony go? Because Carmelo Anthony is now a free agent, and his top teams are the Chicago Bulls at 3-2, Houston Rockets with Howard, Lynn, and Harden out there, 7-4, if he goes to the Houston Rockets, if Carmelo goes to the Houston Rockets, that's a bigger big three or four than Miami. That makes, to me, that makes them a much better basketball team than the Miami Heat, which the Miami Heat are lucky they play in the Eastern Conference. The next list for Carmelo would be the LA Lakers at 3-1, then staying in New York with the New York Knicks at 4-1, and then the Miami Heat on this thing has been thrown around at 6-1. For Carmelo Anthony to go to the Miami Heat, it would take LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh all to opt out of their contracts and re-sign to take less money. Then it would need Carmelo Anthony to take less money, and you probably end up cutting a couple of your bench players. Their bench sucks, so I guess it doesn't really matter. But then it makes you an even less deep team if you bring Carmelo into the Miami Heat. So I don't see that happening.
I don't either.
But it's been thrown around, and it showed up on the Vegas odds, so there must be some sort of back-end story to it. But I don't think it happens.
I think if you spend a little money, and when do you think this will all take place? Do you think it'll take place in the next 2 weeks?
I think
When are they having the draft?
It's Thursday.
So it's going to happen after the draft.
Yeah, July 1, I believe, is their opt-out date.
Because they got to see, you know, there may be, you know what might happen? There may be some a trade made to make all of this kind of, but you know, if you think about it, it's not going to happen among people that don't know each other. So it's going to have to happen, and you got to include the Lakers in this, and you got to include, in my opinion, the Clippers, because Magic Johnson is involved with the Clippers the new Clippers one way or another, probably. And you gotta keep, I think, the Knicks involved. I think you gotta keep Miami obviously involved, and you gotta keep Oklahoma City involved because of Kevin Durant. Because Kevin Durant is probably going somewhere.
Yeah.
And think
next year.
Think about this for a second. How could you make Kevin Durant and LeBron work in Miami? Could you make that work?
I don't think Durant is the kind of guy who would want to do that.
You know what? I think they're totally different players. I think Durant is probably a strong two.
If you gave me
I think LeBron's a three. I just think he is because he's so powerful.
Yeah. No, LeBron's definitely a three.
He would. You know what? If Durant played with LeBron, it would save LeBron so much energy having to control the ball and dribble the ball.
If Durant goes anywhere.
Yeah.
Which I don't really believe that he's going to leave Oklahoma City. Unless there's some reason that they can't match his contract or they can't. I don't think he'd go anywhere. He's a big Washington Redskins fan, so he has strong ties to Washington.
Well, he lived here.
And, well, he plays in the Goodman Summer Leagues. He plays in the Kenner Leagues at Georgetown.
His best friends are here.
But John Wall has been trying to make a push to get him to stay.
Think about how much money he'd save in airline tickets alone for his friends.
He went to Montrose.
I know.
He's from the area.
Well, I mean, his mother's here, isn't she?
Yes.
Okay.
So if he was going to go anywhere, the Washington Wizards is a strong possibility of him going here. Now, the Washington Wizards just drafted Otto Porter to play that three, but
he's not. He's
we'll
not
see.
The guy.
He was injured. He didn't really get a chance. So he didn't really see much of the floor. So
probably
he's
not
still,
the guy yet.
He's a project.
Right, absolutely. He's like he's a sixth or seventh guy in. So maybe even an eighth guy in.
It'll
right
be
now.
Interesting to see because Durant's not a free agent until 2015-16.
I know. There's going to have to be a lot of money change hands.
If Trevor Ariza is let go by the Wizards this year,
they'll have the money.
And
because Ariza's what, $15 million or $14 million? $14 million, I think, for what, two more years?
Just
one more year?
I think he has one more year left on his deal. But I think he's gone. And if he's gone, that means that the Wizards are going to make a play. Now, another guy to keep a lookout for the Washington Wizards is Cousins. Played at Kentucky with John Wall. He's from the area. He plays in the Goodman Leagues with Durant and John Wall and all those guys. So he has strong ties to the area as well, and he's played with John Wall, and it would open up that four spot, which the Wizards desperately need a four.
If Cousins stays, they can't let Gortat go, though.
No,
in my opinion,
Gortat isn't going anywhere.
Well, he better not go anywhere. I like him. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. Roy and I will be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So, we are back. So, to kind of recap what we've gone over a little bit right now, I think we both believe that UVA is going to take home the NCAA championship.
I think that's worth the bet in Las Vegas if you can get that anywhere. Yes, I do.
I think we both believe
that. They got to be minus 200 or minus 180 or one. You know, you ought to look that up because I'm sure it's on the Vegas lines. And if that is low enough, it's like minus 160 for the series. Mm-hmm. Or minus even 200, I'd take them. I mean, why not? Because I think they have the better team. And really, the great thing about baseball, even though it's a game where anything can happen on any day. The worst team in the world can beat the best team in the world on any given day. By the time you get around to the last two teams in the NCAA playing with the exact same metal bats and the exact same balls, it comes down to pitching and defense. And I think Virginia is that. I mean, they're definitely that. And they're not even hitting the ball yet. Vanderbilt's got some pitching. They got good starting pitching like Roy pointed out earlier, but I just don't think it's good enough for Virginia. I think it's good enough for everybody else, but it wasn't good enough for Virginia. And finally, I think things are going to come. But I got news for you, Coach McMullen and Coach O'Connor. They ain't taking anything for granted. Those kids are getting ready as we speak. They're probably having meetings. They will have memorized exactly what pitches to throw and what counts to what batters, the pitchers and catchers. The hitters are looking at film, no doubt. right now of all the Vanderbilt pitchers and the way their balls look on a week where Tony Gwynn died. And by the way, we need to discuss that. Tony Gwynn passed away, mm-hmm. age of 54. And I told all my kids that play for me, and you know, I hate to say this, but several of them dip. And it's just something that I can't even explain why it happens. All I told my kids was, hey, if you think living to 54 is enough years to live to, then keep on dipping. And I don't know anything else to say because that stuff will kill you. And it killed Tony Gwynn, no doubt. You know, and Tony Gwynn had it for a long time. He suffered. I'm pretty sure he had jaw bone taken out. I mean, you know, when that stuff attacks bone, you're in trouble. You know, yeah. And that's what it was doing. You know, and he got it from his salivary glands. I mean, how many people do you know that get cancer of the salivary glands? I'm going to knock on wood because I don't want to be one of them. But it was terrible. And Tony Gwynn, the book, The Art of Hitting, is the best book that you will ever read on hitting. He talks about what he did with drills. For all you listening out there that play baseball, buy a fungo bat. He drilled with fungo bats because it literally lets you feel the whip and accentuates everything you need to be doing to square a ball up and stay inside a ball and take the knob of the bat to the ball. And he also hit wiffle balls, baseball-sized wiffle balls, because if you hit them, like, if you come outside in, they'll actually spin and go. They won't even go very far. If you hook them, they'll do the same thing. If you hit them square and square up a wiffle ball, you can crush them, and they go straight. I'm Bruce Hall. Buy some wiffle balls, okay, if you got kids. And the greatest thing about wiffle balls is you can start kids hitting these off of a tee. Oh, and Tony never took a lot of batting practice. They say his BPs sometimes were 4 or 5 swings. That's it. You know what he did? Hit off a tee. He would go in a club, you know, down underneath in the tunnels and hit off a tee. He would look at film. He'd go back and hit off a tee some more. You know, Tony Gwynn had a famous say, I'll give you one, and then you're mine. In other words, I'll take a strike. Mm-hmm. Show me what you got. Okay, that's it. All right, I got you. You know, and that's what I try to tell kids. Go deep into the count. Don't swing at the first fastball you see. You know, yesterday I'll give you a perfect example, and I'm not going to say any names, guys, so don't worry about it. But first guy up in the inning, the second game when I'm coaching third base, walks on 4 pitches. Mm-hmm. Next guy up. Now, we're down 3-0 at the time. So we should be taking strikes anyway because we need base runners, right? So first guy walks on 4 pitches. Next guy up, pop up, first pitch. Next guy up, pop up, first pitch. Pop-ups are the worst thing you can do. I'd rather see you battle and struggle and scrap and punch out almost than popping up. Because you might as well punch out if you pop up. Nobody's going anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. It's not happening. Let's go to baseball. God, I'm ready for baseball right now. You know, we need a good sound for baseball, but it can't be the football sound where people are getting tackled because they'll think that's one of my games when the bench is clear. Oh, that's pretty good. That's all you can come up with?
That's going to baseball?
That's unbelievable. Well, let's go.
We got a real comedian over here.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. Hey, we're going to go to the American League first. Toronto's still in first place, but the Yankees are making some strides. They've won 7 out of their last 10 games, although they lost yesterday to Baltimore. I watched that game at a bar. Didn't have a drink, but I watched that game at a bar. You know, that was the Yankees are going to win today. They got their ace on the mound. They're seven and three on Sunday too. Take the Yankees today. We're not even doing the games, but write this down. Take the Yankees. Period.
Tanaka. 11-1, 1.99 ERA. Do you think that's worth the whatever $50 million talking price that they paid for him?
They underpaid. I mean, they underpaid for Tanaka. How old is he? 24.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's 24, 25. I mean, he's been pitching in Japan since he was 17 or 18.
25. Yeah. 25.
Yeah. Baltimore's 2.5 games back. You know, they've got some problems, but they're playing okay. If their hitters get hot, J.J. Hardy hit his first home run of the year yesterday.
If there's one thing we know about the Eastern Conferences, though.
It's very good.
Or the Eastern Leagues, I should say. The NL East and the AL East,
right.
Nobody stays in first place very long.
Nope.
Those conferences are jumping, or leagues are jumping around. Toronto's on top now, but I think it was Baltimore who was there like a week ago. Yankees have been there. The only teams who haven't really been there are Boston and Tampa Bay.
Well, look right now, Boston, you know, they win the World Series last year. Mm-hmm. They're 7 games under 500. Uh-huh. And Tampa Bay, who everybody picked, to win the East this year, they're 16 games under 500. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for all those experts out there, people listening to my show, you're as much of an expert as anybody else because they don't know squat.
Yeah. Well, Toronto was in the basement a year ago. And now they're sitting on top currently.
You know, I picked Baltimore at the start of the season to win the East, and they're going to scrap, but they could end up in last place too if people get hurt. Yeah. Let's go to the Central, and this is really the most interesting group I think there is because 6 games separate first and second place. Detroit is struggling now that Prince left. You know that it was a big move around. Nobody thought it was going to be a big deal. Guess what? It's a big deal.
First and last place.
Yeah, they're 39-32. They're a game and a half in front of Kansas City. Kansas City fires their 5th hitting coach in 2 years, about 3 weeks ago. Now they won 10 in a row. They lost.
Need to keep firing hitting coaches.
Now they've lost 3 in a row. So are they going to fire this guy? No.
Once they're on a 3-game losing streak, they'll fire this guy and rehire another guy.
You know what? I should just go hang out in Kansas City. I could probably get a job. Cleveland is 37-38, and Cleveland, in my opinion, they have one of the most exciting offensive teams there is. I mean, they can score some runs. Their pitching is their downfall. Minnesota, this is the best year Minnesota's had in years. They're 35-38. They have good starting pitching, a decent bullpen. They're still not scoring enough runs, and the Chicago White Sox, in my opinion, are never going to be any good. As long as that ownership group is in Chicago, they can just write everything off. I don't even understand Chicago. It's going to be – in 3 years, the Cubs will be so much better than the White Sox, it'll make your head spin.
They're in a 4-game series right now with the Twins, and the Twinkies have them – they're going for the series sweep, a 4-game series sweep right
now. They're better than the White Sox. The Oakland A's, I picked them to win the American League West and win the pennant this year. They're 47-28.
Looking pretty good.
They're 8-2, won 5 in a row. I don't even want to talk about them. They are so strong, and they are so consistent in defense, pitching, and hitting, scoring runs. And they play in a piece of crap stadium, and they love it there. They love it there. The fans love it there. You know who doesn't love it there? The opposing
Everybody
teams.
Everybody else.
Yeah, because I don't even think the showers work in the visitors' locker room. And I think that – wasn't it last year that they had the problem with sewage? They had the problem with the sewage problem in the visitors' locker room last year. I don't think they even tried to fix it. Sewage problem means there's poo-poo caca everywhere. So that's a problem. Los Angeles Angels have made some strides. They're starting to look more like the Angels that Artie Moreno or whatever his name is.
They're playing for a wild card spot, though.
Absolutely.
They're going on a tear right now.
But they're going to get it. They're going to get it.
And they're 6 games back from the A's.
They're going to get it, though.
I believe so, too.
Well, you know what? They're 5-5 their last 10 games. They're better at home. But Josh Hamilton is back. Mike Trout's starting to swing the bat again. Isn't it funny how everybody talked about Mike Trout's slump, quote-unquote? Yeah, he was in a slump for 3 weeks, and now he's like projecting 140 RBIs or something.
Players would kill to be in a Mike Trout.
I wish I was Mike Trout. You know what? I just wish I was Mike Trout's buddy.
I just want to be friends with the guy.
Somebody asked me the other day. Hey, there was a thing. Listen, he's 22. He's getting old.
Is he 22 or 23?
22. Because your boy is still 21. They're one year apart.
He'll be 23 in August.
Yeah.
By the end of the year.
Now, listen. The Angels, in my opinion, they have very good starting pitching. They have an okay bullpen. And if they ever start hitting, and Albert Pujols, Angel.
Winnie the Pujols is starting to heat up.
You know what? We forget all about him because he's – but
you know what's
more fun than watching Albert Pujols run around the bases slowly?
He's so slow.
Watching Bartolo Colon run around the bases. Did you see that film of him running around the bases?
I didn't.
He had a double, and then he scored on a double. And I have never seen a man look closer to death running 180 feet in my life. I mean, he was jiggling in places I didn't think people had fat. But anyway, Seattle's actually 3 games over 500. They are kind of quietly starting to win games.
Winnie the Pujols has 3 less home runs already than he had all of last year.
Well, he was hurt all last year.
That's what I mean. That's a big. That's why the Angels are not sitting where Texas is right now, and they're
Texas is
in the wild card.
I've already said Texas sucks. A lot of people, have you ever noticed the love fest that all of the commentators on MLB Network and I love MLB Network. I listen to those, but they love Texas.
There's no good baseball that comes out of that entire state right now. The Rangers suck.
Well, no, no, wait a minute. No, no, Houston's getting a lot better. Roy, don't look at me like that.
They're
These
getting
guys,
a lot better for Houston.
I'll tell you what. I'll make you a bet right now that Houston has a better record at the end of this year than Texas.
Yeah, but they both suck.
Yeah, but they're spending like $60,000 this year, and they have a great minor league organization. And they have Bo Porter, who knows what the hell he's
doing.
I'll
make you a bet that Houston is still one of the three worst teams in baseball by the end of the year.
All right, hold on. Let me look at the standings, because this will be easy. Well, you know what? Tampa should win more than them. But you know what? Right now, and I don't know how to say this, Roy, Houston has three more wins than Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll take that bet, because all we got to do is beat Chicago, Texas,
Arizona.
And Tampa Bay.
Or Arizona.
Oh, no. You're using the whole league? Thank you, Roy. All right. No, I'll take that bet.
So you want to take Arizona? You want to take America?
For dinner at the Palm.
American League only, then.
No, I don't want to do that. See, I just negotiated your deal for you.
I still think they're going to be one of the three worst teams. All
right. I'm going to say that they're the fourth worst team or better. In other words, they'll be fourth or fifth worst.
In all of baseball. Okay.
Palm Restaurant, me and you and the ladies.
Okay.
That's great. How much time we got for our next break, Matthew?
3 minutes.
Don't flip me the bird, Matt. That's not funny.
Is this a minute and a half real time or a minute and a half soccer
time? Hey, read
time?
Between the lines, Matt.
Are they going to add injury time?
No. You know what we haven't done? We haven't done the National League. Let's do the National League when we come back. So let's take a peek, Roy, real quick. What, we got 30 seconds, Matt?
No. 1 minute.
He's lying.
We still have a minute? Are you on drugs? We need a drug test.
We can leave whenever we want to, man.
Hey, Toronto, Detroit, you know, I'm just sitting here looking. Oakland's going to win the American League. Who do you think? Who do you think is going to win the American League pennant?
The pennant. I'll take the A's.
All right, so you and I.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can't even bet on the
pitching right now for the A's is
I would make the A's odds right now to win the American League pennant. Mm-hmm. Listen to me. I'd make them even money. One to one.
If Detroit
look it up on Bovado or Bravado or whatever. Whatever the hell you look at.
Bravado.
I'm Bruce Hall and Roy's.
It's Bovado for everybody out there, but it's so bro.
Is it Bravado?
It's Bo. But
Bovado? So bro, right Vovo, Bo?
If you guys want to know about internet betting, then just hit me up on Twitter.
Yeah.
At Roy G.
Yeah,
Edwards.
And just don't listen to who he. Oh, now we have 30 seconds. If this was a wrestling match, I'd be going to the table. I want to know what's wrong with the clock. We're going to be back in a minute with the National League.
If Detroit's bats can heat up,
They suck. They're done.
Hey, I don't know.
They're terrible. They just lost 9 out of 10. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
They're a 3-game winning streak.
This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play it, just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So how do we get people to call in? Do we have to give stuff away? T-shirts?
Oh, you know what? We are giving
Talk
away.
About soccer?
We
Talk
are
about
giving soccer. Away. We're giving away a T-shirt this hour. It's a profootballguru.com for cancer. And we're going to get, they're all extra larges. I got about a dozen of them in this week. And we're going to give one away this segment.
That's offensive to smaller people.
Oh, you know what? I got something for you, buddy, right here. It's in my pocket. Stop. Oh, my God. Look at this.
I think we should stop giving away only extra larges.
I think you need to shut up. I think you need to. You're wasting time on my show. People. Shut up. Washington. Let's go over the National League standings.
That is offensive.
Washington is in first place. You can clap now. God, Matt.
Yes, they're
you need
in
to
first
warn
place.
Me when you're going to
they're
do stuff.
They're a half game up on the Atlanta Braves.
Washington is in first place.
You missed it. Just
no, Matt, that's the wrong one.
Just
Atlanta.
Just go.
Atlanta's in second place, half a game back. Oh, Washington.
Which they play again.
Hey, Washington finally beat Atlanta last night.
So they.
I was at the game two nights ago. It was horrible.
Washington and Atlanta play one more time. They play today at 1 o'clock.
By the way, Matt Williams.
So we can see that switch again.
By the way, I'm like a foot away from the mic. What do you want me to do?
To come closer to the mic.
You're saying now.
Well, you should have made it longer, shouldn't you?
That's what she said.
If you guys, if anybody out there is studying to be in broadcast, you just need to
listen to Matt
and take
the
notes
board
of what not to do.
Miami's 500, 37-37. Philly's 5 games under, 34-39. And they actually ran off 7 out of 9 until they got beat yesterday. The Mets. Let's talk about the Mets for a second. I sat next to a guy in a bar last night. Was the biggest Met fan I ever knew. I've been up and
That's
down.
That's because he was a Met fan.
No, there's a lot of Mets.
450 pounds.
But listen, this guy was in a Baltimore bar. Okay, so you know he picked. He didn't. You know the Yankees were playing on TV against Baltimore, and he just and he's a Baltimore fan too. But he picked. You know he loves the Mets, and I told him what he needs to do. In my opinion, is find the owner. Get his checkbook and start writing checks himself because the owner's not writing enough checks to keep them competitive in a division that has Washington, Atlanta, and Miami and Philadelphia in it. Philadelphia's payroll is much bigger than the Mets. And you know what? They have the same record, basically.
Yeah, but Philadelphia's, I mean.
No, Philadelphia is trying. You know what? They were in a position where they would start trading guys, you know, if they kept losing, but they won, like, 9 out of 11.
They'll start trading people by the break, though.
I hope so, because there's a couple of guys on there that'll get traded. Chase Utley will get traded, and I'm hoping Marlon Byrd gets traded because he's on my team.
He's on your fantasy team?
He's on one of my fantasy. He's on my score sheet team, and I'm in first place, by the way. BL Box Score, you can go to Fantasy Sports. You can go to Box. You can check and see how I'm doing. You don't have my – I'll even give you my passcode. Just don't screw my team up.
Don't do that.
But the New York Mets. Can
pitcher?
We talk about the Mets since this is the New York show? Can you shut up and let's talk about the Mets? The Mets are 34-31. They have decent starting pitching. Wheeler looked really good the last time he went out. You got Nice. You got the other kid, the right-hander. All these guys are trade bait, though. All of them. Because they're
all the Mets are every year, though.
You know, well, you know what? You're right, and don't you think they need a new owner? Because if they're not going to try to win the East and make the playoffs, what's the point in having a team? The Yankees don't do that. They try every year. Of course, they have $1 billion to spend because of their TV.
I mean, they need to trade people around. They need to trade some people around. They need to draft well. And they're a couple years away. I mean, but the Mets, what, 3-4? I guess it's like 5 or 6 years ago now. Were the top of this division and were battling it away and then they were the ones who were giving the division away to the Phillies every year.
Yep.
So they're not too far removed, but they're definitely in a rebuild, which if you're not going to spend any money, rebuilding takes 5-6 years.
You know, whatever happened to Howard Johnson? I think Howard Johnson, Hojo, who everybody knows him as, used to be the hitting coach for the Mets, and I'm pretty sure he's an independent ball now, and he's like a manager of a team and having fun. I think his kid played for him 1 year. But I'm looking right now at the hitting stats for the Mets. Let's just take a peek right now. David Wright in 300 at-bats.
He's the third base coach, hitting coach, sorry, for the Seattle Mariners.
Is he really? Well, Hojo, that's why Seattle's starting to hit the ball. He's a very good coach. I don't even know who the hitting coach is for the Mets. Will you look it up for me, even though I'm on their website? Because I'm talking about David Wright.
Fun fact for the Westchester people out there, Hojo played for the Rockland Boulders.
Yes, he did. That's how I realized he was an independent ball. 75 games David Wright's played in. He's only scored 33 runs, and he has only driven in 38 runs. What does that tell you? That tells you nobody's on base in front of him. Lucas Duda.
Dave Hudgens.
Is hitting .248. His on-base average is .337. That's okay. But he's only scored 26 runs. He's got 16 doubles, 10 bombs. He's like their most productive extra-base hitter. 29 walks, 54 punch-outs. Murphy is probably arguably their best hitter. He scored 45 runs in 304 official at-bats. 17 doubles, 1 triple, 5 home runs, 26 RBIs, 28 walks, 38 strikeouts. This is a guy that could get traded. You know, they've got other guys in the minor leagues they can bring up for nothing. They're paying Daniel Murphy some good money, and I'm pretty sure he's a free agent next year. They just signed him in the offseason, I think, for 1 year. Then you look at guys like Wilmer Flores. I think he's in AAA in Vegas. Curtis Granderson is starting to hit the ball a little bit. Here's something that's interesting about Curtis Granderson. His averages look like my college teams. He's only hitting .226 batting average. But his on-base average is .351, which isn't bad.
Lamar Johnson is the current hitting coach for the New York Mets.
Never heard of him.
After Dave Hudgens was fired. He was minor league hitting coordinator for the Mets.
Well, you know what? He needs to be fired. He must have pictures of the owner. 31 runs scored, 11 doubles, 1 triple, 9 home runs for Curtis Granderson, 46 walks, which is, you know, he's going to have well over 100 walks at the end of the season, 72 punch-outs, he's going to have about 150 of those too, 5 stolen bases. Grandy's starting to hit the ball. And, you know, but you know where they put him? They put him number one in the lineup. He's leading off. You know why? Because David Wright doesn't have anybody to knock in. So here's the problem with putting Grandy in the leadoff spot. You put him in the leadoff spot, who's right in front of him? The pitcher. Is he going to be on base? Hell no. Is the eight hitter going to be on base? Probably not much, right? So Grandy's RBIs are going to be a ton. Do you pitch to Granderson if you got another guy up after him before David Wright? I think you got to put David Wright in the two-hole. I think they're crazy if they don't two-hole David Wright. If they two-hole is the second guy batting, you stupid soccer moron.
Soccer people.
I'm Bruce Hall. My producer's a moron.
So
just don't just ask questions if you don't know the answer to them.
So I got a legitimate question here.
Okay, go ahead.
So everyone started talking about the baseball, the helmets, and we saw the third base coaches and first base coaches starting to wear helmets.
You're tangent, Tom. How'd you get on this?
Well, we're talking about baseball. And this
okay,
is, this,
go ahead.
This,
go ahead. This, this, yeah, this, I was talking about the Mets hitting problems.
No, I know, but this all is right. This is, has to do with helmets. So Alex Torres becomes the first player in MLB history to, and he's a pitcher, to wear a helmet. Have you seen that?
The padded hat? It was yesterday. Yeah. They made a big deal out of it.
Right, that's what I'm
saying. Well,
that,
you know
this
what?
Is, I'm being, this
but,
is a
but let me
thing.
Tell you why he's the first pitcher to wear one. They just became available this week.
So do you think this is going to be a thing? Are we going to start seeing
I think it could be a thing. I think that if they're not like heavy, yeah, mm-hmm. I think they'll wear them because how could it hurt? But you know what? I got to tell you something. And they also, you have to be able to put pine tar on them without it, you know, bleeding or something. Because, that hurt. So anyway, Ruben Tejada, can I go back to what I was doing?
Sure.
I think it's going to be good.
We're coming down towards the break. We're finishing the break. And we had to get that story.
Can't we do a commercial-free one? For the first time, just kidding. This is my fate. Listen, the NAR is my deal. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. Roy and I'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. I tell you what.
Great movie, by the way.
You know what? I would love to buy the Mets, but I don't have any money. If anybody's listening out there that's got money or access to money, call me. At 1-800-4... Actually, my 800 number doesn't work anymore. I just stopped it.
Because don't call the 1-800.
But if can you I have t- money, can I make it come back.
Hey, give us a call at 240-317-7294. If you want to buy the New York Mets, I'm serious. Give us a call, 240-317-7294. I can put together the organization to make them a winner in
we'll
a matter of weeks, maybe 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, I would have the best people out there in baseball that are not employed already, working for me. Does everybody understand that? I'm not kidding either. And by the way, I'm tired of metal bats in college, in high school, in Little League. Wood has got to come back. Metal bats are horse crap. I can say that. I can't say the other word I'd like to say. But metal bats are horse crap. Use wood. That is the way the game is supposed to be played. These BB cores they use in high school are a joke. These BB cores they use in college are a joke. I don't know what they use in Little League because I've been out of Little League for 5 or 6 years. I haven't been on a board of Reston Youth Baseball or Little League in a while. But I got
it. You must have been the biggest player then.
You know what? Yeah, I was the biggest player. I was pretty good. Yeah, I could hit it out. Left-handed. Yeah, one-handed. 200 feet. Not bad. You know,
200
off
feet.
That's all it is in Little League, 200 feet to the wall, baby.
I know.
And you can even hit that with a BB cord. So anyway, let's talk about the Mets pitching, because we were just talking about the Mets hitters. We already know the Mets can't hit. They got three or four guys that are decent. The rest of them pretty much need to find somewhere else to play. Leading off Granderson and putting David Wright either in the three or four hole is a joke. Put him in a two hole, because if you don't put him in a two hole, you're going to be in trouble. That's my opinion. Here are your pitchers. You got Nease is a stud. John Nease, 91 innings, 243 average against, 2.67 ERA. John Nease is arguably their only all-star. Wouldn't you agree? Dylan G, 2.73. I think Dylan G's been hurt for about 2 weeks. He may be coming back. DeGrom won his first game last night. How would you like to be 0-4 going into last night's game, Roy? Mm-hmm. Have a 3.75 ERA. By the way, that's one full run better than your boy Justin Verlander, and not have won a game yet. He won his first game. This kid's a keeper. He's going to stay. Bartolo Colon has worked the money. They're paying him only. He's getting hit around a little bit. Zach Wheeler. He's going to be good. He's not great yet. So who do you get rid of? I think you get rid of guys that you're going to have to spend money on that have been in the league more than 2 or 3 years, like Dylan G. I think John Nease and Dylan G are trade bait, don't you? They could help any good team out,
okay? Wouldn't
you say? And I would say, believe it or not, Bartolo Colon could help somebody out.
Mm-hmm.
So those three guys, in my opinion, are the guys that are probably going to be dealt as pitchers. As far as hitters go, you know, we talked about it. David Wright's going nowhere. Granderson's going nowhere. They really don't have any hitters. The only guy that's going to go anywhere is the second baseman,
Bobby Abreu.
Well, he's not going. Nobody
wants him.
Nobody wants him now. But for the Mets, that's a problem. You know what I'd like to do? Can we go to the Yankees real quick? Let's go to the Yankees, and I want to talk about how they've kind of turned it around a little bit with a little bit of health for a change. You know, they're pitching. We all know who their stud is. God, if it wasn't for him, they'd be 7-8 games under 500. The Yankees are in what I would consider to be a rebuilding mode, wouldn't you? I just think they are.
I don't know if you can call it rebuilding.
They have to rebuild, because you can't call it building their farm system.
I would call
They don't have a farm system.
Oh, that's true.
They don't have.
The Mets are in a rebuilding situation.
Yes, they are.
The Yankees are still fighting. I mean, the Yankees are still in it.
But the Mets got to spend some money in that division. I mean, I'm looking right now at the stats for the Yankees. Let's do hitting first. I got everybody. You know what? Robbie Cano, who everybody wanted to see go off and do horribly, he's turning out. He's number four. In the National League in hitting, Seattle, in all of baseball, my bad, 36 runs, he's scored 42 RBIs. He's not going to hit a lot of bombs in Seattle because it's hard to do that there. 16 doubles, a triple, 4 home runs, .392 on base percentage, and he's not been 100% healthy. But you know what? Robbie Cano makes the All-Star team.
Mm-hmm.
MVP at this point, Troy Tulowitzki. 18 home runs, 15 doubles, a triple, 39 walks, 39 strikeouts. You know what his on-base average is? It's Bonds-like, 452.
The Rockies suck, though.
Well, they don't have the pitching. They're not going to win.
Would an MVP go to a guy?
No, I think that right now he's so far ahead of everybody else, he would win. You can't say Puig's going to win it. Puig's 411. On base average, he's doing fine. You know, he's hitting .320. He's got 16 doubles, eight triples, and only three home. Oh, I'm sorry, that's somebody else. That's Alex Rios. 18 doubles, 3 triples, 11 bombs, 44 RBIs. He's punched out 60 times though. 7 stolen bases. Puig's doing very well. Let's go down. Let's see.
I mean, if the Dodgers win that division,
we were talking about the Yankees. I'm trying to find. I'm looking for a New York Yankee in the top 50. I'm not finding anybody. Oh, this isn't good. This isn't good. This is not good. Let's see. Yeah. Oh, here you go. Oh, Jacob Ellsbury. All $20 million of him plus, right? Jacoby Ellsbury. .349 on base average. .279 average. 15 doubles. 2 triples, 4 home runs. Mm-hmm. You got to say that's a disappointment. But it's not just him.
I mean,
it's not just him. It's the guys hitting behind him, too.
I mean, the whole lineup's not very good.
No, they're not.
McCann hasn't really done much. Soriano's not really doing much.
How about, let's talk about Derek Jeter. 258 official at-bats, 24 runs scored in 64 innings. That's not good. 8 doubles, 1 triple, 1 home run, 16 RBIs. Derek, you're already gone. I love you.
But to that point of their bats not really showing up,
yeah,
they're a game and a half out of first.
I know, because that division isn't – they're all competitive.
Right.
And I got to tell you, what that also means is they're scoring when they need to score.
Mm-hmm.
And
they play in that T-ball park, so as soon as these bats
wake up – Solarte's been out for a while, and he carried him for a while. He's got a 350 – Solarte is arguably Rookie of the Year. Now, he's not going to win it because the guy from Chicago is going to win it, Abreu.
Is Tanaka up for Rookie of the Year?
Yes. And he might win it, too.
He has to be Rookie of the Year.
Well, you know what? I'm glad that only one of the guys, either him or the guy in Chicago, the first baseman, can win one award.
Because
they're both not really rookies. They're both really like sixth, seventh year players.
What if Tanaka wins the Cy Young, and the AL MVP, and the Rookie of the Year?
That'll mean the Yankees are in the playoffs. That would be a good thing.
Has that happened before?
Oh, yeah. Fernando Valenzuela in the National League when he was the first year he was in.
He got all three?
Absolutely. He won like 26 games.
That was the Dodgers pitcher, right?
Yes.
Yeah, guy from Mexico.
He was a great hitter, too. He's the only guy, Nolan Ryan, in 14 minimum plate appearances, never punched out because he could hit.
And he was a pitcher.
Yeah, he's a pitcher. He's good. He's around. He's always at Dodger Stadium.
He's the play-by-play, doesn't he?
He does.
Spanish play-by-play.
Yes, he's one of them. Yeah, there's a bunch of them. Let me see. I'm just looking. New York, New York, New York. Hey, if you got something to say about the Yankees or the Mets, call in 240-317-7294. I want to talk to you about this lack of ball players. I mean, you know, they're just not doing a great job. Now, I will say this, Roy, and you know this, pitching's been unbelievable this year. The pitching is so much better than it's been, and it's gradually gotten better every year. Mm-hmm. I don't think that has anything to do with except pitching getting better. Guys throwing harder. Now, what else is up? Tommy John surgeries. So the pitchers are getting better, but at the expense of what? Their arms.
Hey, I mean, the Yankees have a great staff, man. Pineda, Kurota.
Well, Pineda's hurt, right?
Well, I mean,
he's been on the DL since the start of the
season.
They
still have a good staff, though.
Well, let's take a peek.
And, I mean,
just, well, that's what's keeping them in
with everything that you say about whatever anybody can say about the Yankees. They're still a game and a half back.
Yeah.
And they're hurt.
They got Robertson. What's Robertson's ERA? You got it right there?
I don't have it right here.
All right, but I'm looking right now at their qualifiers, and they don't really – I'm at number 50, and besides our boy, who is, like, unbelievable, he's number two in the league. Tanaka, 11-1, 1.99 ERA, 99.2 innings, basically 100 innings, 113 strikeouts. Guess how many walks? 16.
That's ridiculous.
It's one every 10 innings. His whip is .95. His average against is .216. You know, the only guy in baseball better than him? My box score guy, Johnny Cueto. 1.92 ERA, although he's 6-5.
Robertson has a 3.28.
You want to hear something sick?
0-2, 3.28.
Listen to this. 108 innings for Cueto, 64 hits. That's five or six hits every 9 innings. 111 strikeouts, 26 walks, average against as for a starter, 100 point, they're hitting 169 against him. His whip is .83. Wainwright is right there. Wainwright is 10-3, 2.08 ERA, 200 average against, 98 strikeouts, only 21 walks, and Wainwright can rake. He can hit. Scott Kazmir. My son Davis was talking about Scott Kazmir earlier. This week, he's on his fantasy team, 2.08. He's in Oakland now, and he's like their number one guy. Felix Hernandez up number five. Josh Beckett, who's made a comeback from literally having two or three average years at best. You know, I smell steroids, but it's okay. 5-4 ERA, 2.28 ERA, 86 innings, only 62 strikeouts. Where did he find, you know, this magic? You know, where did he find it? Mark Burley, Toronto. He's 36 years old, 2.32 ERA, 10-4. He's one of the big reasons Toronto's in first place, right? They're still in first place. Andrew Cashner, San Diego. He's doing well, but he's their ace. Alvarez, Yu Darvish, 7-3, 2.39. There are so many guys in baseball with ERAs under 3. There are you ready for this? Mm-hmm. 25 guys in Major League Baseball, most of them starters with earned run averages in the 2s. That just tells you all you need to know about what's happening in baseball. Not a lot of scoring, a lot of good pitching. You got Gray with Oakland's number 23. Tanner Roark, Madison Bumgarner. These are all-stars. Garrett Richards, Cole Hamels has turned it around. You know, I hate Cole Hamels. You know why I hate him. Because of the way, when he plunked our boy, you know. A lot of bad blood between Philly and Washington fans. Samardzija, who should be a Giant or a Dodger or an Oakland A or a Cleveland Indian or a Detroit Tiger really soon. 2-6 is his record, 2.60 ERA. I mean, he's having a great year. He's young, and I think his contract's up after this year, so he's going to get traded. No doubt about it. He's the number one guy, Jeff Samardzija. John Neese is number 16. He's another trade big guy. Turan, he got whipped. That's who the Nats beat last night. Timmy Hudson, even with a horrible outing last time, 2.39 ERA. He's going to make All-Star Day. He's right behind Darvish. There is some great – I mean, this is unreal, the pitching, Roy, that's going on. You know, you take a peek at all of these guys, and you just know, you know, in your heart that whoever has the best pitching is going to win. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to. I don't think that hitting beats good pitching most of the time, but I think this year it really does not. Because you can see it. You know, the Nats don't have a bad hitting team. Even when they don't have everybody healthy, they can hit a little bit. Mm-hmm. But they don't score a lot of runs sometimes. They'll get shut out or they'll get, you know, get one or two runs.
It's streaky, yeah.
And they're not the only team doing that. You know, there's a lot of teams doing that. That happens to the Yankees. It happens to the Mets a lot. The Phillies, I think, have been shut out 16 times this year.
The National League is definitely, I think, the pitch. That's pitching. I think the National League, you look at it, well, the San Francisco Giants, that's pitching. Washington Nationals, Atlanta Braves, pitching. Then you look at the Central, the Milwaukee Brewers and the St. Louis Cardinals, that's more hitting to me than it is pitching.
Well, yeah, but you know what? What's keeping the Brewers in first place is their pitching. Their pitching is really good this week. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Roy and I will be back, and we're going to be talking more baseball. We're going to talk a little soccer. We're hoping we get a call from a good guy, the guy we had on 2 weeks ago. And we're going to talk a little bit about the World Cup, about the game coming up. See you soon.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're hitting it here on the back hour of our second hour, final stretch, I guess you could say, final two segments here. Finishing up some baseball talk. We have gone over the College Baseball World Series. Bruce is over here.
I'm holding up today's New York Post. U.S. versus him, Ronaldo. Mm-hmm. He's good, man. He is. He's a midfielder, isn't he?
Yes.
I think he is. Yes. I think he's the best midfielder in the world.
I don't care about Cristiano Ronaldo.
Hoping that we'll actually get the starting 11.
We're getting into soccer mode. What time is the game, man?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
You know what? We're taking BP at exactly 5.
Just cancel it.
No. You know what I'll have?
We'll cancel the game.
We'll have the TV. No, you know what we might do? We might just play it.
Just don't show up.
No. We're going to play it instead of music for BP.
You should play that.
I'm going to play it.
For 5 hours.
No, it's going to be. No, it's going to be for 2 hours.
I'm going to play
it. It's not going to be. We play a game at 7. I can't do that.
No, cancel it.
Not
canceled.
No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, they haven't released the starting 11, but the biggest question in this game, well, who will take Altidore's place?
That's right. Who's going to fill in for...
Well, I'm busy.
I'm hoping Wando.
I'm busy.
Josie Altidore, right?
Yes.
He's the guy. He pulled up a hamstring going deep. Yeah. So who's going to be? There's
Did he used to have a band called right. Josie and the Pussycats?
So, yes, yeah, there was. No, you can. You can say that. It was a cartoon. I used to watch it. So I will fully admit that I watched Josie and the Pussycats. That was a great cartoon. But
what's up, Pussycat?
So,
oh, that's Tom Jones. And that's
so Josie Altidore, right? So he goes out. So now the two replacements are, one's a goal scorer from the MLS, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then and then one is a goal scorer from the EuroLeagues.
Yes.
So it's Johnson is the
Eddie Johnson is he's from DC United, not on the team this year.
No. There's some. Who's the guy? Johnson?
Oh, Johansson.
Johansson.
You know, I don't know how to say this, but New York's a big place, right? I mean, it's a real big place. There's millions of people, probably 10 million people in listening area that we're in almost.
Mm-hmm.
There's like one page on the World Cup.
Well, you know the biggest.
Well, they just had a thing on the news line during the top of the hour.
There's one page on Matt. You're telling me this is supposed to be big.
It's huge. It's huge.
Well, then why don't the Post like do some more stories on it?
Well, the number one demographic in the country is Washington D.C.
Portugal. We have to win or pack our bags. No kidding.
That's Portugal.
That's what it says.
Portugal.
I thought you were talking about us, as in we talk about
the U.S. has history against Portugal. Tell us about it, Matt.
I think it's 1-1.
Is it 1-1?
Jesus, Matt. You're my soccer expert, and you think it's 1-1?
It's 2-2 with one tie. One draw.
One draw.
Yeah. But, how far ago is that?
And they both scored 5 goals in those matchups?
Yes. Altogether.
Oh, you know what I just found? This has nothing to do. The show has. Look, I'm peeling back layers of the New York Post, which I love and I buy every Sunday. I hate that man, Obama, more than any man I've ever met, more than any man who ever lived, Bill Clinton in Blood Feud. I thought they were buddies. Okay, this is really a good paper.
Was that a movie or something?
No, it's not good. I guess Charlie Rangel's in trouble.
That's probably a movie.
You know what? I'm looking for stuff on the World Cup. I can't find it.
You got it right here. What do you need to know? I've watched every single
game. Here's Steve Serby's Sunday interview with Dylan Betances.
Oh,
he's good. He throws 100 miles an hour, by the way.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't have to. Jacob deGrom, good article on him. Where's the World Cup?
Look, I don't really read tabloids, so.
This isn't a tabloid. It's a New York Post.
What do you want to know
about the World Cup? Just ask
the Washington Post. It's a liberal rag.
I want to know who's going to start for Altidore. That's what I want to know.
Who is going to start for Josie?
Johansson, Johnson, whatever. You can throw your fancy little.
Come on, help us out, Matt.
They haven't released the lineup yet. No. They'll release it probably.
Well, who do you think's going to?
Is it a big secret or something?
Does it matter that one guy is from the MLS and the other guy's EuroLeague? Since our coach is a German guy. Do you think he
I think what matters more
guy?
Is that they put Johansson in when Altidore went out.
And he's the MLS guy, right?
Absolutely. No, he's from... he's
the EuroLeague.
EuroLeague.
So who's the MLS
guy? And he didn't... Wondolowski.
Okay, and they say that they're similar styles of play.
Some people do, some people don't.
They asked the EuroLeague
Here's the difference, though. They put in Johansson when Altidore went out.
Right, so that's a big one, right?
You didn't hear his name called at all. So my inclination is that you'll see Wondolowski this week.
Okay.
Because they need that speed. That's Jurgen Klinsmann's style. They have.
I like the way you said that. Say that name again. That was sexy.
Wondolowski.
Say that name again.
Jurgen Klinsmann.
Jesus, he knows how to say his name.
You have one skill player. He's not fast player.
He isn't related to anybody that we had problems with during World War II, is he?
Probably.
They're all related.
I was just curious.
Jurgen Klinsmann, to me, I don't like that we're in the same group as Germany.
All right. Now, here's the biggest story. I'm going to break it now. The biggest story that nobody's talking about. All the teams that have already gone out are the big name teams that everybody's surprised is gone. Spain, yeah. England.
Excuse me.
Italy is not out, but you know they're faltering.
Switzerland was terrible.
Is Uruguay in?
Yeah, Uruguay's still in. These are all teams that were really great and had star players, but they're elderly. They're aging. And everybody was mad at Jurgen Klinsmann for not bringing in Eddie Johnson and Donovan McNabb.
I wouldn't have brought in Donovan McNabb either, though.
Landon Donovan.
This is our soccer guy.
Hey, he needs to keep a towel close by. He might throw up on the ball.
Donovan McNabb over here.
He's gonna throw up on a soccer ball. That would suck.
I hear you.
Could you imagine heading a ball that had like And Ralph fall over it?
No.
And Jurgen Klinsmann was got into a feud last week with Kobe Bryant because...
Did he really?
Yes.
Kobe Bryant?
Kobe Bryant is like a huge soccer fan.
Yeah, he's said a big soccer fan. Well, he grew up in Europe.
He would have been a good soccer player,
He grew up in Europe. So
Doesn't he play soccer?
He did.
I wish he played soccer now. We'd really be good.
Down there. Jurgen Klinsmann calls him out and says, "I don't know why the Lakers pay him. I pay him so much money. He's past his prime, and you shouldn't have to pay someone that much money."
That?
Yes, absolutely.
This guy
Bryant's just like, "What? What are you talking about?
He's
man?
A crap.
You pay that because of my previous service and because you want your team to know that you're going to take care of them if they succeed."
So you heard,
but yeah, well,
is this like this I haven't read this anywhere?
This happened? Yes, this happened. So
that's unbelievable.
But what a nice look at thing what is happening in this World Cup is that it's the youthful players. It's
right.
The team with youth and speed are beating out these older skilled players, these elderly skilled teams that have gone out with only playing two games. You look at all the big, huge names on Spain and that they're out of it. They don't even it doesn't matter if they play their second game or their third game. You look at England, doesn't matter if they play their third game. When you have Wayne Rooney, Gerrard, and all these huge names.
This always
you have to look at what
hey,
Jurgen this always happens in America, Klinsmann said in an interview which was released on Wednesday. Kobe Bryant, for example, why does he get a 2-year contract extension for $50 million? Because of what he's going to do in the next couple of years for the Lakers?
Nah.
Of course not. Of course not. He gets it because of what he's done before. It makes no sense. Why do you pay players for what has already happened?
Because people actually go to watch him play basketball, not Jordan Klinsmann coach. That's why.
I guess he kind of has a point, though.
Jordan, Jurgen, Mergen, Flurgen. Sounds like the Swedish chef
and
on
the... It's kind of a misrepresentation between... Bork. There's a difference between club-level... I'm a pro level play and national when you have national team.
Do you know what the key is for the win for the United States? How DeMarcus Beasley plays. If DeMarcus Beasley has a good game, we win. If he gets beat regularly, we're in trouble.
That's the other side of the elderly question. Beasley,
I
really feel is our biggest weakest link.
I know,
but he's loved and he is old and skilled. But you know, if they attack that side, they have got to make up for his slow performances.
So what do you make of all these people saying that since Altidore's out that we have to change our formation or whatever? Saying that we should go to a four back instead of...
Kyle Beckerman's going to...
What are we playing?
Is Kyle Beckerman starting?
Yes.
How about Julian Green? Is he starting?
Probably.
How about Jermaine
Jones?
We don't know yet because they
have not released...
Jermaine Jones can play.
Yeah.
They all can play.
But is he starting?
Probably.
We don't know. They haven't released. You know what? In Major League Baseball, you've got the starting pitcher like a week in advance.
Not in the World Series. This is the World
Series.
Yeah,
you do.
No, you don't.
Everybody knows who's starting the next game.
No, you don't.
It all comes down to...
In the World Series, of course you do.
You don't know who is pitching 4 and 5 at the beginning of the series.
Because
yeah,
it can come down to... They're looking at...
Yeah, you do.
They're looking at
whether the other team is
changing
up. Yeah, but we're talking about the same day right now.
Yeah.
You don't even know who the hell is starting.
Yeah, we won't know.
So it's a big secret.
One or two.
Does this have something to do with the way they fake injury? Is this like a fake...
The baseball lineups aren't released until you hand it over to the
umpire. Well, absolutely.
Here's the thing. Is you're not going to tell the other team,
6 hours
I'm going to put our weakest player over here, or right. I'm going to put Wondolowski over as our starter instead of Johansson.
Yeah.
Just so it's like, okay, well, we have a week to prepare for that.
Matt,
so
do me a favor. For all the people that are listening to the show, I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're talking about the World Cup. We're talking about soccer. Matt, let me ask you a question. How many substitutions can...
Three.
Yeah.
And when they make a substitution, tell me how that happens. In other words, they make the substitution. A guy comes out. He can't go back in.
No,
right?
He cannot.
Okay. See, that was different in high school. In high school,
no,
the way...
You come
the,
out, you
no,
no,
no. In. Listen, when I played, when you came out, you were done.
Yeah, it still is.
You
That's
were done.
It is.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. If you come out with a red card, do you play one man short?
Yes.
That's cool.
For the next game, too.
So you're saying when I got a red card against Georgetown University's freshman, we played with 10 guys, not 11, and beat them?
It's not just that. You are also taken out of the game the next game. That's why Pepe is not playing this week.
He's going to Vegas instead?
Yeah, he's sitting out. Just
he's not playing against the U.S.
He's going to Argentina. Have some fun. Yeehaw.
So the big thing is that four of the star players for Portugal are not going to be there.
Okay.
And you have Cristiano Ronaldo.
Is that a good thing for us? Obviously.
I would hope so.
And then the best possible situation happened yesterday when Ghana and Germany tied.
So Ronaldo's going to try.
The best possible would be Germany winning.
I don't think so. Points. Yeah. Points-wise, the best possible situation for the U.S. happened when they tied.
Yeah, I mean, you won a week, Germany.
We're arguing about soccer. You know what? We're going to have to keep this for the best of.
That's speculation, though.
We'll have to come back to it because they won.
Matt trying to be political in his really weird, weak political way. Matt, fumbling around, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. I already know that, Matt.
Yeah.
Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, to which I am a member, by the way, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back in a minute with more spoof from our soccer guy, Matt Lynch.
We're going to school these guys.
I love soccer. We are going to win. We are going to win.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
That coffee's kicking in. I just chugged. You know, I had a whole cup of coffee here, and I didn't even realize it was there. It tastes pretty good lukewarm.
Didn't even know those homes were there.
All right, we were going to talk about the NFL because there's got to be something good coming. Is Johnny Manziel starting or not starting? Because they made a big deal in Cleveland. By the way, the Cleveland ownership group, they blow. They need to get somebody that knows football in there fast, in my opinion.
Well, they're getting there.
That's my opinion.
They're getting there.
They are?
I think that they'll be much better this year, yes. I think that they will probably
You bet on it.
I think they'll finish second in the division. I think they'll be 8.
The Cleveland Browns?
I think they'll be 8-8, and they'll finish second in the division.
We're talking about the Cleveland Browns.
All
right, let's talk about them briefly, and then we're going to give – oh, you know what we got to do?
Washington Redskins?
No, we got to do our picks at 50. At 11:50, we're going to give you guys – so go get a pen and a piece of paper. We're going to give you winners.
No, don't go anywhere.
You know, the opposite of losers. We're going to give you that at 11:50, but you got to have a pen because if you're like me, you'll forget. You know, once somebody tells you that, what are they saying about Johnny? Are they saying he's going to start now?
The big news about Johnny Manziel is that he's just making a fool of himself.
He's having fun in the bars in Cleveland. Yeah, Tony told us that was going to happen.
I don't have a problem with it.
Tony said that he would have a blast in Cleveland because the bar scene is happening there.
Yeah, I don't.
He's 21. Have fun.
Everyone,
or is he 22?
People, it's the off season. People need something to talk about. They need something to make headlines. So we get Johnny Manziel force-fed, and we get Redskins' name change force-fed.
Yeah, we're not going to even talk about that till we can get that wonderful columnist you love, Mike Wise,
on the show.
All right. Well,
I'll make it public.
He doesn't have to be on your show. He can be on my show.
I won't come that day.
All right. Well, that's fine. That's all right. You got to come. Just come late.
No, I don't want.
I'll have him on from 10 to 10:30.
The dude's a troll.
Well, you know what we're going to do since we don't care about the NFL yet because there's really nothing happening. And by the way, how many years can Aaron Hernandez get? Like a billion? Because they're going to keep finding. Yeah, well, they're going to keep finding murders.
He's in jail for life. But since
they're just going to go Redskins through their cold
change,
cases.
Redskins name should
change. No, we're not going to talk about it.
Shouldn't change. Since we're not going to talk about it.
All right. Well, I think it should, and that's all we're going to talk about. All right, let's go to baseball. I'm going to pull out. The Baltimore Sun has the best matchup page in history. Scherzer, who got bombed last time he went out, is 3-0 versus Cleveland this year. But Cleveland has it going on right now. Scherzer is down. You can get odds right now, +120 on Cleveland, the home team. Take Cleveland. I'm taking them. You want to take Dwight Scherzer? No, you don't. Houston and Tampa Bay. Bedard, who everybody in Baltimore hates, is taking on Kuchel. I'm going to pass on that game. You passing? I don't like the game.
Both teams suck.
I don't like the game. Baltimore's at New York. It's Tanaka.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah, just take Tanaka. Sign the mortgage over to, you know, the guy. And I'm just kidding. Just take Tanaka. It's great. He's only -200. It's 2-1 play. Chicago White Sox at Minnesota. I thought I'd never say this. Danks is going to get beat by Hughes. Hughes right now is an all-star
for
Minnesota. I'm taking Minnesota. They're playing well at home. And by the way, the all-star game is where? Minnesota. Yep. And by the way, we're going. You just don't know it yet. Seattle's at Kansas City. Pass. Ventura, the kid that throws 100 miles an hour is pitching for Kansas City. That's probably the play, but I'm leaving it alone because they're minus 140. Boston at Oakland. Malone, what did we say? Oakland on Sunday. They covered last week.
That's right.
Take Oakland on Sunday. It's John Lester. He's struggled lately. Take Malone. He's minus 120. When do you get the American League projected by Bruce Hall Sports winner of the pennant at minus 120? Never. Mm-hmm. And it's Sunday. They never lose on Sunday. Texas is at the Angels. I'm Pat. It's Yu Darvish, but I'm leaving him alone. But when can you get Yu Darvish minus 115?
Never.
Are you going to take him?
No.
All right, I'm not taking him either. New York Mets, John Neese, one of my favorite left-handers, a guy that won't be a Met much longer, is in Miami. I'm passing on the game. Yeah. No. Atlanta, you got Irvin Santana, who has struggled as of late, at Tanner Roark. I'll take
Nationals.
You take him.
I'll take him for a split.
I'm going to take him too. Listen, if you're listening to this show, that was from my heart, not from my brain.
I was not smart.
Philadelphia. Kendrick, who, in my opinion, sucks, is at St. Louis against a 100-mile-an-hour throwing Martinez. Martinez has struggled, though. Pass on the game. Pittsburgh is at Chicago. I would never usually say this, but Chicago's been really good at home lately. Hamill is one of their best pitchers. Take him. Chicago for, like, you know, a three-star play. Bumgarner at Arizona. Mad Bum is great this
Arizona
year.
Sucks.
He's doing a great job. Well, no, Arizona isn't great, but take Mad Bum because they need to win. They won last night to stop a big losing streak. Take San Francisco, I think, today. I normally don't even play them. As a matter of fact, knock on wood, Bruce Hall's not playing them today. But
I played them twice last week, and they lost both games.
Yeah, well that's because they lost like 9 in a row. They lost 9 out of 10. The Dodgers, Ryu, who lately hasn't looked that great, against Stoltz. Stoltz is horrible. Dodgers are going to win in San Diego. Take the Dodgers, and I hate the Dodgers. Milwaukee, who is starting to heat up again. Kyle Loesch, who does a great impersonation of his former manager, Tony, what's his name? Remember when he went to home plate and he had his sunglasses on and he looked just like him? That was like 4 years ago. You know, I remiss sometimes. Take Milwaukee against Colorado. Colorado right now is struggling. It's a ship going down. As a matter of fact, there's a good chance there may be a change up there. And one of the best pitching matchups of the day, Toronto at Cincinnati. You got R.A. Dickey, former New York Met, against Johnny Cueto, the number one pitcher in Major League Baseball right now. Take Cueto minus 146. That, in my opinion, is going to happen. Plus, ever since Joey Votto came back, they're winning. When Joey Votto wasn't on the team, they were losing. Take that. I like that. I like that whole thing. And once again, let's go over the American League and National League standings. Toronto, New York, and Baltimore. I mean, in reality, I think you can throw Tampa Bay out of the mix. I don't think this is an aberration. I think they suck.
Yeah, I think
I think they're running out of guys, and I think that people are tired of playing in an indoor gym. I think they need to build an outdoor stadium somewhere where you can actually cut the grass. Boston won a World Series. You can't count them out. Baltimore is Baltimore. New York is New York. And Toronto, I think they're for real
Toronto
this year.
Hot.
Any one of
those, I thought they were for real last year and then crapped the bed.
Yeah, you're right. Well, you were only a year off. I mean, you know, and it took a year. Well, it took
you know, if I was a year off, you know, if
sometimes
if my betting,
being a year off is
if,
a bet.
If my betting worked with a year off, man, I would be rich, rich man.
Yeah, we would own a casino, a sports book in Vegas. Central Division, Detroit's still the team to beat. You know, they are. You're right, Roy. And they do have the better pitching. And Verlander isn't going to have a 4.74 ERA very long.
He'll turn around.
Now, the only thing might happen is if he's injured, they may just shut him down for a while and bring somebody up. When they bring their good guys up for the minor leagues, they win. So, and you know what? Porcello's even pitching well. So I don't know that Kansas City is for real. They do have decent starting pitching, but Detroit and Kansas City are probably the only two teams in that division that have a chance. In the West, Oakland is going to just beat up everybody, in my opinion. In the East, you got in the East National League, you got the Washington Nationals, the Atlanta Braves, and you got the Miami Marlins. All three of those teams are capable of winning. Philly and New York, basically are going to flip a coin to see who gets the first draft pick next year. Milwaukee and St. Louis, two best teams. I picked St. Louis to win everything. Stupid me. They're playing like they're average right now, but they've had some injuries. Milwaukee is playing great. They're 5.5 games up. Cincinnati, no chance this year. Pittsburgh, no chance this year. Chicago's 3 years away from being in the playoffs, mm-hmm. but they are going to be one of the best teams in baseball in 3 years. San Francisco, L.A., those are the two teams. Colorado, San Diego, Arizona. You know, why even be in business? You know, I hope you draw a lot of fans. I hope you do a lot for the community because you're doing nothing for the win column.
USA's plus 320 today. I had to throw that out there.
Take it.
Out of time.
Hey, take it. Listen, let me explain something to this. Portugal, how many guys do they have out, Matt?
Four.
Plus 320, should I give it?
Portugal has four of their starters out.
Just like
four of their starters are out for today's game. Is that Bovada?
This is you.
Just like Bruce won't bet on the Giants. I am not.
I bet on last game though.
I am. Not
I got
going,
no problem with a jinx on a soccer game.
No, you better not.
I'm going to call my buddy in
that
Vegas.
Wood or I'm. I am, I
all right, I knocked on wood. Right, well, I hey, hey, play it. I want to play it right now. Oh. Play it right now, Matt. Right now,
I love. Right, I got it.
I love this chant.
I got USA plus.
Everybody, everybody together with us.
USA.
No, wait, no, it's not that one. It's a different one.
Yeah, it is.
I. Here we go.
I believe that we can win.
You know what? We're gonna win. What was it? What were the odds? Plus what?
Plus 320.
You can probably get that in Vegas for probably 250.
See, that worries me, man.
I took it.
Well, you know what? I gotta tell you something.
Nothing is ever guaranteed.
I'm going to tell you something. That team that won against Kenya?
Ghana.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the president. My bad. Ghana? That team that won against Ghana was a better team than Ghana. They were. They outplayed them. I think they did. They didn't control the ball as much. But they played better defense than Ghana.
It was a very equal game.
I know, but I thought we
were
better.
But it was scary. It was scary.
We were in better condition, in my opinion.
I thought it was going to be a much bigger win than it was.
Listen,
that scared me.
Listen to what I'm telling you.
I'm not listening to you on soccer.
Dude, I played soccer. I understand the game. You should hear me do the play-by-play in the bars.
Nah.
It's easy.
Roy, drink up.
Dude, I played hockey growing up. It doesn't mean I'm a hockey expert.
Well, you know a lot
Although
more.
Although I do cover the beat for the Washington Capitals.
Oh,
so
then you better be quiet because you're just shooting yourself. You are a hockey guy.
I am, yeah.
Look, when I played golf with Rod
Langway. Bad example.
When I used to play golf with Rod Langway and I went to every home Caps game in 1984, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89.
Yeah.
And I had season tickets.
Well, I played
I knew a lot about hockey, too.
I played lacrosse year-round and in college.
You're talk about a real sport.
I don't know anything about
talk
the
about
NFL.
A real sport.
That is a real sport.
Hey, we already picked the winner. We already picked the winner of the NCAA baseball championships. Yeah, it's down to two teams. We picked the – got to knock on wood.
Hey, I'm doing good.
Kenny Towns.
Football or
Kenny Towns.
I had Florida State winning. I had Duke winning lacrosse. I had UConn,
Jack Andrews.
I had UConn Jack winning Andrews. Basketball, and I picked UVA earlier in the year to win the College Baseball World Series.
Well, you're just
so I'm about to do a clean sweep.
You're incredible. Oh, you're incredible.
I'll have a clean sweep.
Yeah, I never ever see any of this in writing in advance, but you're incredible.
What do you mean? You want to see?
Absolutely. Yeah. Pull it all up. Send it to my website, and I'll
I'm not going to send it to your website.
Put it on my website.
No.
Go I don't know how website, to do it.
Sportsmancave.com.
We got 2 minutes left, Matt, or 1 minute?
We got
1.5 minutes. I want to thank Frank Werman for coming on early today. We were going to have Tony on to talk about Johnny Manziel, but evidently he and Johnny went out and kind of tied one on last night during one of his, you know what he does. He's a DJ.
Yep.
And if you ever
DJ
read,
Tony,
you got to read at Tony Mazur. It's at Tony Mazur, right? Tony, yeah. At Tony, TonyMazur. You need to follow this guy. He is out of control.
He's a funny dude.
He is the funny dude. He's a sports guy. He's a karaoke guy. He was talking.
I never knew that about
his
him.
Comments at 1 o'clock in the morning are are invaluable to a young man growing up.
Yeah.
In my opinion, he tells it like it is. And you know what? I always thought he was a little fat, goofy guy. He's a good-looking guy. He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
So he needs to get, you know, he needs a harem of women following him around in Cleveland.
I think he needs a girlfriend.
If you're in Cleveland and you're listening to the show, you need to hook up with Tony
Mazur.
Before we go,
if you want to change the Redskins name, you're a racist.
Well,
bottom line.
You know what? If you want to change the Redskins name, I have 10% of my blood is Cherokee Indian. I say that the original owner of the Washington Redskins was the last guy that had a black guy be in the NFL. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll talk about that next week when Mike Wise is on my show. See you later.